Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to our morning worship service. Let's turn together to hymn number 179, and we'll begin with Awesome God, 179. For all the love and the mercy and the grace that you have showered upon each one of us here today. Father, we thank you for it all. We praise you for your greatness and love. And we pray that as we think on you today and as we are reminded again of the sacrifice that Christ made for us, his death, burial, and resurrection, the new life he has given us, the power by the Holy Spirit to walk in you and to fellowship with you and to live the life that you desire to see in us. We praise you for all these things. We pray that as we worship together, as we fellowship together, as we hear the word preached, that your Spirit will move and work in our hearts and make us to be more like your Son, the Lord Jesus, and to be walking closer to him. We give you thanks for this hour and commit it to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated.
We won't be here, so we can thank the Lord for that. All right, let's see what else we got. Pray for my wife, John chapter 17. Well, let me just read this to you to begin with. I was reading the other day, April 1st, in the Days of Praise. We have back on the back table back there. You're willing to take these little booklets. It's on Christ our Intercessor. That's what got me to thinking about this. And it says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Romans 8:34. One of the most glorious truths of the Christian life is that the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose for our justification, now lives to intercede for us before God. The greatest example of intercessory prayer in the Bible is in John 17, where the Lord poured out his heart for his disciples. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. But that was not all. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And that's us. That includes us. Did you know Jesus is praying for us? Yeah, isn't that wonderful? What is it that, wait a minute. What is it that he prays for us? Okay, here it is. First of all, he prays for our security. The Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Then he prays that we might have real victory over sin and the devil. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil or the evil one. His next request is, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Our sanctification will come, therefore, not through some special experience, but through God's word. He also prays for true unity among his true disciples, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Finally, he prays for our ultimate glorification. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. We can be assured that the Father will grant these requests of his beloved Son. Now that's from Dr. Morris, who's with the Lord now. But I thought that was a really good devotional. All right, let's look at the John chapter 17. We'll read this chapter together. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, neither even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so very much for this wonderful portion of Scripture, the high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ for us, how we praise you and thank you to know that we are connected, that you are there, Lord Jesus, praying for us as we seek to do your will and seek to walk in fellowship with you. Bless this word to our hearts today. Encourage us. Strengthen us. May we not be discouraged. Thank you that you love us. And pray that you will guide and direct in all that we do today. Lord, with everything that's going on in the world around us, we realize that you are working primarily through your church to your people. And we pray that we would love you and serve you in the way we should and continue on. May we proclaim the gospel of Christ. Thank you so much for the opportunity to do that. We do pray for those today who are not with us. We pray for those who are ill. Pray for my wife especially, that you'll be with her and touch her and strengthen her and restore her to health. And others too that are going through these kind of problems. We pray that you will meet their needs today. And Lord, we just ask you to strengthen us and guide us and lead us in the way of righteousness and truth. Thank you so much for all your love and every blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's turn once again to John chapter 17. Someone has called this chapter the Holy of Holies of John's Gospel. Here we overhear the Son of God, who is in earnest prayer with the Father, in his talking to him from heaven. You know, quite often the Lord Jesus would go apart and pray to the Father, and we don't know what he said usually, right? But here we have this wonderful chapter where it tells us exactly what the Lord Jesus was praying to the Father. And we refer to this chapter, this is the high priestly prayer of Jesus for himself and for his people. You know, we have what we call the Lord's Prayer, right? But the Lord's Prayer is really for us, the disciples' prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. This is the prayer he is praying for us, you see. You know the Lord's Prayer, don't you? Do you know the Lord's Prayer? You do. Let's say the Lord's Prayer, okay? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Now that's a wonderful prayer, isn't it? Jesus taught us that. And it has a lot in there for us to think about, and how we can serve God in the very best way. But now we want to look at the prayer of the Lord Jesus here in this John chapter 17. The first part, notice he prays for himself. You know? And I think, you know, if Jesus could pray for himself, can I pray for myself? What do you think? Huh? There's nothing wrong with that, is it? We could pray for ourselves. And he doesn't have to confess any sins. Did you notice that? He does not say, forgive us our sins, because he didn't commit any sins, right? He was perfect in all of his ways, and he never sinned. He does not confess any sin, as he had taught his disciples to do. Now we know we're thinking about his disciples. They needed to ask forgiveness for their sins, didn't they? Huh? Think about that. Thomas was doubting. Peter was denying. You know, and all these different disciples. And so we certainly need to ask the Lord to forgive us as we go through life, that we might not sin against him. But here we find the prayer of Jesus. He praying him for himself. Notice what he says. Father, the hour's come. Now, you know, throughout his life, as he went about teaching and preaching in various places, He said oftentimes, mine hour is not yet come. Right? It hadn't come yet. But now he says the hour is come. This is one of his last things that he did before going to the cross and dying there in our place to save us from our sins and then coming forth from the grave victoriously. We just celebrated Easter recently and thinking about Jesus coming forth from the grave. And here he is more or less saying this is one of the last things he's doing. He's talking to the Father about his disciples and about himself. And here he says, as you have given me power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now here, notice here, Jesus said the hour's come. He's ready to finish up his job and return to heaven. He says, now glorify thy Son. Notice this is not a selfish request, as he says, that I might be able to glorify you. You see, that's the whole point. Jesus said, you glorify me so that I can glorify you. You see, and that should be our attitude, I think, as believers in Christ, that whatever we do, it brings glory and honor and praise to God, doesn't it? And so he blesses us and we bless him for all of his goodness to us. He says in verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Jesus said, I always do the things that please the Father. That's the reason he came. God the Father sent him for a particular purpose. To save us from our sins, yes. But to bring glory and honor and praise to the Lord God Almighty, to exalt him. And he says here that this is the reason he came, to glorify the Father. Eternal life is a gift from Jesus to the disciples. Did you notice? And it repeats that over and over again here, that he says, you have given these people to me, Lord. Now I'm going to give them back to you. He says that over and over again. Let's see. I know it's in here a number of times, if I can find where I'm at. Glorify thou me, he says. And talking about the disciples, here it is. Seven times in this passage, Jesus says that the Father had given him the believers. Isn't that interesting? The Father. You know, so often we have trouble, at least, I have trouble sometimes comprehending the Trinity. Do you have any trouble with that? The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, and sometimes we get them mixed up, I think. You know I do. But there's a very distinct difference between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know, they're all God, yes. But the Father is the one who sent the Son, and then the Son is the one who gave us the Holy Spirit, right? He left him behind for us. So God is present with us all the time. Boy, that's quite a concept, isn't it? You know, in the times when you're going through the deepest waters, do you know that God is with you? Huh? He's there. Huh? And when everything seems to be going wrong, he's always there. And he's the one the Father gave these believers to the Son. And now we belong to him. It says that thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal. Here it is. How do you know that you're saved? Life eternal, that you might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. See? You know the Father through the Son. If you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. You know, a lot of times, these days especially, people don't mind talking about God, perhaps, you know, some kind of God out there, you know, something or other. But leave out Jesus. You might offend somebody if you talk about Jesus. Well, that's tough. That's just tough. You know, because Jesus is what it's all about, right? He's the one that came and to do the Father's will, yes. But also, he's the one who brings glory. Notice it says in verse 5, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." See, he's eternal. Before anything was ever made, Jesus was there with the Father. And he says, "Now I want you to glorify me in the same way. I'm ready to come home," he says. Yeah. And so he's preparing to finish his work and to go to be with the Father. He's still hasn't gone to the cross yet, but that's coming very soon. And now he's ready to come home. In Philippians chapter 2, there's a classic passage here in beginning in verse 5 about Christ. And he says for us, "Let this mind be in you. Have this attitude, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, every tongue confess," "every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So there again, God is glorified when we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on talking about what he has done while he was here on earth. His work is now finished for all practical purposes. He's getting ready to finish his task and then wants to bring glory and honor to the Father. So he prayed first of all for himself, and then he prayed for his disciples. And he prayed for them that they might be sanctified. You say, well, what does that mean? Set apart from sin, set apart from the world, and set apart unto God. Sanctified. See, that's what he's talking about here. He's praying for the disciples. Beginning in verse 9, he says, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." So there's a special place in the heart of Jesus for his people, right? Now here he says, "I pray not for the world." Well, why didn't he pray for the world? Doesn't God love the world? It says he does. And he does, yes. But he has a special prayer for his people. He's praying for us in a very special way that we might be triumphant in our life for him. He says, "They have been yours, and now they are mine. All mine are thine, thine are mine, and I am glorified in them." Think of that. You know, sometimes I wonder, is Jesus glorified in me? Is Jesus glorified in you? As we go from day to day, something to think about, isn't it? Yet we need to come back to the Word of God and realize, hey, you know, we've got a task to perform, a job to do, to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus, and to seek to tell others that they need to know him as their Savior and as their Lord. I've given unto them the words which you gave me, and they have received them. Have known surely that I came out from you, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Right? So these are the disciples who have come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. I pray for them. And now I am no more in the world. He knew he was on his way out. But these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. That was the prayer of Jesus, that the disciples might be one. Well, when's this prayer going to be answered? What do you think? Huh? Think about the disciples of Christ in the world today. Are we one? Hardly, in any sense of the word, right? Now, we might say, hopefully, in our local church, we're one, you know. We all believe the same thing. We all seek to bring glory and honor to the Lord and all of that, and that's a wonderful thing. But he says he wants those who believe in him to be one. What does that mean? We all have to meet together in some great big place? No, it's not that. But we might have the same attitude in our minds and hearts and the stress of our life, the attitude that we should have is that of what Christ had when he humbled himself and became a servant. You know, that should be the attitude of every believer. We are servants of God, and we should seek to bring glory to his name. That should be prominent in our thinking and walking in the way of righteousness. I had another verse here in John chapter 6, verse 37. He says, Jesus says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Isn't that wonderful? You know, you talk about, well, who's coming to the Lord? How do we come to the Lord? Well, we come in faith, don't we? By faith, are you know, by grace are you saved through faith. So what's he talking about? You know, the only those that can come is the ones that the Father gives him and so forth. But who does he give them? It's those who believe, right? Over and over again, we find that throughout the scriptures. And don't be confused by that. He says, for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. For I came down, and this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So, as since we have believed in the Lord as our Lord and Savior, we have eternal life, and he will raise us up at the last day, and there's no doubt about it. Right? Amen. We can praise the Lord for that. So, we see here the gifts that Christ has given to the church. He has given us eternal life, we saw here. He has given us the Father's name. Verse 6, it said, I've manifested thy name unto men who you gave to me out of the world. I've manifested your name. I wanted to look at this in Exodus chapter 34. I had a couple verses. Chapter 34 and verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. The Lord God Almighty. That's who he's talking about here. The Father's name, I have given it to you. And so I had verse 26 also here. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So Jesus is making much of the name of God. He is the Lord Almighty, and we need to worship him as such. So that's one of the gifts he's given us. The Father's words he gives us over and over again. We see that in here in verse 8. It says, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. It's important to receive the word of God, isn't it? Whatever he says to us, we need to accept it, believe it, and follow it. Okay? He's given us his joy. Down in verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. See? The joy of the Lord is our strength, right? And that's what he's saying here. His joy and his glory. We talked about the glory over and over again. And here we find Jesus interceding for his disciples that they might be kept from the world. Verse 11. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one. We need to band together as believers against those who are not following after God. The world system, and all of the ungodliness that's going on around the world. All the sin that's coming more and more to the forefront all the time. And then also he says, to keep them from the evil. Or it could be the evil one. Who Satan himself, who is out to destroy the believers. That was in verse 15. He said, I pray not thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil, or the evil one. Because he's, like a roaring lion going about, seeking whom he may devour. So we have to resist the devil, and he'll flee from you, he says. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. But here Jesus is praying for his disciples that they might not succumb to the enemy, might not fall prey to Satan. And then the beautiful thing is, he is praying for us today. Jesus is praying for all believers. Look at this, verse 20. He says, neither pray I for these alone. The 12 disciples he had and the other ones who believed on him back then. He says, no, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Jesus is praying for us. Isn't that wonderful? Think of that. And here we find that this is for our glorification. He prayed for the sanctification of his disciples, and he's praying for the glorification of all those who believe on him, that they might be glorified and be with him where he is. This is his prayer for us today, that they all may be one. First of all, he says, it doesn't mean to be organized, to join some council or whatever, nothing like that, but to have the attitude of Christ in all that we do and work together for his glory and for his name's sake, that we might be one in Christ, the spiritual unity of believers, that we might truly love him and love one another. It's that spiritual unity, the love that convinces people of the truth of the gospel. You know, when people fight and curse each other and all this kind of thing just because of some doctrine that they might believe or might not believe, you know, that does not help the cause of Christ. You know, we need to unite together as much as we possibly can and serve him together. We don't have to agree on absolutely everything. Who does? Do you know anybody that agrees on everything? No, you don't. And it's not important to do that, but we do need to be united on the main things, right? Christ died for our sins, he arose again, and he's coming back. We're looking for that, right? And we can depend upon him because he is righteous in all of his ways. And so we can praise him for that. And we want, but he wants us to be united together in one accord. And he says that they might be one. And then the other one was that they may be with me. Jesus wants us with him. Huh? Verse 24, it says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He says, that Jesus is praying that those who believe in him might be with him. And here we find that he is praying to that end, and of course, God is going to answer his prayer. Do you think that God the Father would answer the prayer of Jesus? It says that he was heard in that he was the Son, right? And he has prayed that we might be with him. So what do we have to worry about? Huh? We don't have to worry about that. We are going to be with the Lord one of these days. And some maybe sooner than others. But anyway, the Lord will, he wants us to be with him. So when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. We're going to be glorified, you know. I don't know. I wonder sometimes, what are we going to look like? Makes you wonder. You know, some people think we're going to be like ghosts floating through the air or something. I don't think that. No. We're going to be recognizable. We're going to know who we are. It says, in one place it says that we shall know even as we are known. Right? We don't have to worry about that. But it's going to be, glorified. We're going to be like Jesus. What's he like? Things to think about, right? And yet, we know that we're going to be with him. So in summarizing this wonderful prayer we have before us here today, we pray. Jesus prayed for himself, and this speaks of the salvation that he provided for us. He said, "Oh, Father." He sat in one place in Gethsemane. "If it be your will, let's pass by this. Can this cup pass away from me?" He didn't really desire to go through all that suffering and stuff. And yet, he did it for us, you see. He prayed that God would give him the strength to keep on going and not to give up. And then he prayed for his disciples, for their sanctification, that they might be set apart from all sin and kept in the mainstream of things, like Jesus, to be like him. And then he prayed for the church today, for the glorification of all believers. We're looking forward to that. And but now, he wants us to try, well, I shouldn't say try, I guess, believe. Believe him. And follow in the way that he would have us go. And walk in the Spirit of God and do his will. If we could only be united, what would we be able to do? Now think about mission work and all that sometimes, and around the world and all that's going on, and you know, and people, if we could all work together for the main important things, to see people come to Christ, to see the church established, to see the work of God go forward, it would be so wonderful. And that's what Jesus wanted. He wants us to be that way. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word to our hearts in this wonderful prayer of Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love us and that you prayed for us, and that we can pronounce your word and glorify your name as best we can. Help us, our Father, to love you, serve you, follow you. Speak to every heart. Help us to remember what your word actually says. And may we rejoice in the fact that you are concerned for each one of us. May we look to you, Lord. And we pray for any that do not know Christ as their Lord and Savior yet, that they might come to know him in personal faith in Christ. May your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.